Could the crisis in Libya slow the global economic recovery?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. From APM, American Public Media in New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. The oil company Shell has moved all of its foreign workers out of Libya following a similar move by BP. And the turmoil in Libya, which is a major oil-producing nation, continues to roil global markets. We'll get to the numbers in a moment. But first, let's go live to Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London for more. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Jeremy.
So tell us why investors are so concerned about what's going on right now in Libya.
Well, as you say, Libya's a big oil and gas producer, up to 2 million barrels a day. And the fear is that there may be not just a temporary interruption in that flow of oil and gas. The worry is that a new government might come to power in Libya, which is very nationalistic, and might kick out Western oil companies. And that could lead to a longer lasting fall in supply. And that could push oil prices even higher.
And Stephen, at what point do we have to worry about higher oil prices actually slowing down the global economic recovery?
Well, not yet, but there's a cumulative effect here. We've had a whole series of supposedly temporary hikes in the price of oil and other commodities. And economists are worrying that there'll come a point when companies will decide these are not temporary after all, and they'll push up their prices to cover their costs. Here's Professor Dominic Swords of the Henley Business School.
The longer and the more spikes and temporary blips we have, I think our worry is that the expectations of continued inflation of commodity prices as well as oil prices gets built into the system.
And he says there'll come a point in the not too distant future, perhaps, when central banks will have to take notice and have to curb that inflation by pushing up the cost of borrowing. And that's when the economic recovery will be in greatest danger.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay, Jeremy.
Lots of interesting corporate earnings today, including Macy's, Walmart, and Barnes & Noble. Hewlett-Packard will report after the market closes today. Last summer, the company was caught in the middle of a sexual harassment scandal that forced the resignation of CEO Mark Hurd. With a look at how the company is faring under its new leader, Leo Apotheker, here's reporter Sally Herships.
Many analysts expect HP to post strong results today. But Crawford Del Pret with IDC says Leo Apotheker can't take all the credit.
He deserves the credit for keeping the team stable, but really, it's not as if we saw major changes in the strategy over the last quarter.
Instead, Del Pret says it's the staff Apotheker inherited.
That management team had their boss leave in a big transition and continued to execute really, really well.
Del Pret says the team has overseen development of new products like a touchpad tablet due out this summer. Apotheker is the former CEO of software maker SAP, and he wants HP, a company still better known for printers, to focus more on software.
They're not known for this.
Shane Greenstein teaches technology industry management at Northwestern University.
So a big question for anybody who watches them is whether they're going to be successful at doing that.
Like most other tech companies these days, HP wants to take on Apple's iPad. And Greenstein says HP hopes having its own hardware and software will be an advantage. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Global stocks are down this morning, London down about 1%. Tokyo dropped almost 2% after word that the rating agency Moody's took the first step toward downgrading Japan's debt. U.S. markets closed yesterday for the holiday, but on Wall Street Friday, the Dow jumped 73 points to close at 12,391.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, insuring more than 75 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com.
Okay, it's quiz time here on the Marketplace Morning Report, and our quiz master, Stefan Richter of TheGlobalist.com, joins us now from Washington. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning, Jeremy. Are you ready for today's quiz?
I am ready.
Okay, this one is in the context of all the budget debates and what costs money in the United States and for U.S. taxpayers. So my question for you today is this. How much does it cost per year to support one U.S. service member deployed in Afghanistan?
Hmm.
Is it A, $67,000 a year, B, $132,000 a year. C, a staggering $685,000 per year. Or D, an unbelievable $1.2 million a year.
Well, I am going to guess that it is on the higher end of things, but I will just go with the staggering $600,000 a year and not the unbelievable $1.2 million.
Not quite. This number would be right for the war in Iraq, according to numbers from the Washington-based Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessments. Uh-huh. $685,000, that's, by the way, over 10 times more than the cost of a soldier deployed in World War II. So these wars are getting more expensive all the time.
All right, so I'll guess the $1.2
million. $1.2 million per year. Of course, the least of that is wages or salary for the soldiers themselves. Most of it is due to the sheer lack of infrastructure in Afghanistan, its geographical position as a landlocked nation. And the biggest single item in this? Fuel costs.
Wow.
Per troop deployed, $200,000 to $350,000 a year. Just in fuel costs. With all this heavy stuff that's coming in now, that number is probably going to go up as the oil prices are going up.
All right, Stefan Richter, editor-in-chief at The Globalist. You can find out more about the world at theglobalist.com. Thanks again, Stefan.
Good to be with you today.
And finally, what is the most livable city in the U.S.? According to the Economist's Intelligence Unit, it is Pittsburgh. That's based on everything from culture and education to safety and infrastructure. Honolulu is number two in the United States. But get this, not a single U.S. city made the top 25 most livable cities in the world. Apparently, Canada and Australia are where it's at, according to The Economist. You can see where other cities ranked at marketplace.org. In New York, which is apparently number 53, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The typical career of an NFL player is about 4 years, so a lockout is more than just a contract dispute. It could mean idling for a quarter of your career.
So when you talk about taking benefits and taking money away and not having a season, that's not sitting good with me.
I'm Tess Vigeland, the Freakonomics of Football, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.